Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Remain standing, take your Bibles, and I'm going to have some of our staff help us read tonight. Three passages found in Genesis 1, Hebrews 11, and Romans 4, verse 17 and following. Minister Hank, would you come and read the word for us? Genesis chapter 1, New International Version, if you have it. Read whatever version you have, it's fine. Ready? Set? Are you ready? Set? Go.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Thank you. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3.
Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen.
Excellent. Romans chapter 4, 17 and following, please. Just keep reading.
Verse 17. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised.
Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. There are some notes for you. I'm so blessed to have my mother on the third row, 86 years old, now just had a birthday a little bit ago, and if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be here, not only because she, along with the help of my father, made me, and the Lord met me together in her womb, but she prayed me through. I'd have long been dead if it wasn't for my mother, and I'm so grateful. This morning, as we were worshiping, I was overwhelmed with the reality that I just wouldn't even be alive, and I know that for a fact, and I sat next to you, and we worshiped God. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother used to take us to New York City. We grew up in Long Island, New York, and we would go into Manhattan for different occasions. We took us to the symphony or art shows, and the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And I remember seeing Buckminster Fuller and talk about geodesic domes, and just I thank you for allowing us to see the world. I remember going there in 1976 and seeing the tall ships and the celebration of the 200th anniversary of our nation. On one such occasion, you brought us to the Hayden Planetarium. Now, our technology now is exploded. But back then, planetariums, raise your hand if you've ever been to a planetarium. Planetarium, we'd never been to one, and I remember going there and sitting back in my chair, it's this large dome where through a series of projection, they were able to basically bring you into the universe and space. And I remember seeing universes and planets, and I just remember having my heart just explode with the reality of how big our world is, how big the universe, and as we talked about this morning, 100 billion universes. You're just in one. I said, you're just in one. They say there's 100 billion universes. We're just in one. The galaxy here, the Milky Way galaxy. Talked a little bit about that. And it's a, there's a profound understanding that everything in existence was created from nothing. And I want you to say that. Everything in existence was created from nothing. And in fact, the scriptures we read all have that commonality. Genesis, Hebrews, Romans. And all these things that we have are created from nothing. People have been fascinated by the supernatural. I want to teach to you, preach to you today, tonight, a message that's so fresh in my heart. Because God wants to use you to bring out of the invisible dreams, hope, vision. What you're sitting in is a dream. What you're sitting in did not exist 15 years ago, 9 years ago. It took us 7.5. Somebody said it's 8. No, it's not. It's 7.5. That's what I'm calling it. It didn't exist. We don't have to have faith for our building because it's here. You can see it. If you can see it, you don't need faith anymore. It happened. People are fascinated by the invisible and the supernatural. There is an introduction here, a hunger for the occult worldwide. I want to teach you how to unlock the unseen realm. And I should probably add to that, because there's three unseen realms, and you don't want to unlock two of them. You want to unlock, you want to release one. That's called the kingdom of God. There are other unseen realms. You want to touch those. And I'll teach you along those lines here in just a second. So, hunger, occult worldwide, the occult. I anybody remember Harry Potter? I think that came out in 2000, oh, maybe 1990 something. I forget. Up to about 2007. I remember being on the island of Molokai. How many of you know where that is? It's the most Hawaiian island that nobody goes to. It's just the beaches aren't the greatest, and it's smaller, and it's very quiet. And we pastored there. We have a church there. In fact, I think we have four extensions on the island of Molokai now. Pastor Karen and I and little Hannah moved to Molokai in 2001. And we were there, and God gave us a great revival after lots of fasting and prayer and eating a lot of food. And the reason we had to eat a lot of food, I put on probably 60 pounds and had a move of God. There's something about Polynesia. This just has nothing to do with the message, but it has everything to do with culture. If you don't eat, people don't trust you in Polynesia. So if you fast and you don't eat their food, they ain't coming to church. I'm just telling you, not going to come. They don't hear anything. They don't believe anything you say because you can't sit down and eat with them. You're just not going to get trusted. So we were fasting and praying and believing for a move of God. Church wasn't growing. I would go to doors and visit people and knock on doors and witness. I remember at the end of one long day thinking about how many people invited me to come in and eat. I mean, it was like everybody. And I thought, so much temptation. I'm trying to fast. And the Lord said, stop fasting and start eating. And every time someone invites you in, eat their food. I thought, all right, sweet. So the next day that I'm knocking on doors, somebody said, oh, Pastor, you like come in for some rice? You want some rice? You want some spam wasabi? So I'm like, sure. Well, everywhere I went, they sat down and they fed me. And soon I was 700 pounds and the church tripled in size. That happened for a while, and we sort of stuck, and then the Lord led us on an extended fast, and my mother was there for that, too. At the end, went up and brought about, without telling the whole story, it's powerful, but I've told it at other times. I remember coming down on that final day of the fast, and somebody said, you know, there's like this revival meeting outside at this tent on the end of the island, which is strange. So I went and visited, and I was there, and there was a church that just come to Molokai to have these services, and they're having services. And as I'm standing there, I feel this, somebody's hitting me with something, and I look, and it's this little kid cursing me in Harry Potter curses. He's saying this stuff. I'm like, okay, okay. And like he runs off and somebody says, he just cursed you. I said, oh, I feel bad for him. And he ran off. Because like a darting swallow returns to its nest. So an undeserved curse. I don't worry about curses, but curses are real. And witchcraft is real. The occult is real. And there is a fascination with it. And the foolish parents allowed their child to get tied up. Do you remember Harry Potter camps? You didn't know about that? There was Harry Potter camps. You could send your kid to a little Harry Potter camp and become a little warlock or a witch. And I'm sure I don't understand all of that, but there's this undeniable hunger and thirst for power and control. All of Washington is driven by power and control, money and greed. And we live in a world and must understand that the truth of that invisible world. There are three realms of power. Everybody say three realms. And I should say that before we teach you and talk to you about that, you'll already, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you've already tapped into, you've already been, and you've been born again, you actually are not only here, you're also in heaven. There's a supernatural quality. You've tapped into the invisible. You have entered into the invisible realm, if I could say it that way. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians talks about that. You say, but I'm sitting here. Yes, and you're also in Christ. Christ is in you, you're in Christ. So three realms of power in this unseen realm. Three realms of power. The first one is man's spirit. Everybody say man's spirit. You're more than a physical body, you are a spirit. You're more than a physical body, you're a spirit. And there's an attempt of various movements to awaken you to how powerful you are. The human potential movement is one such movement, and there are others. The human potential movement is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. And the idea behind that, and you'll hear things like, did you know that man only uses a small fraction of his brain? You know how infinite the brain is? If you could just tap into using more of your brain, then you'll have more power and creativity. Now, that is true that we only use a small portion of our brain. But what they're doing, this human potential movement, and there's lots of people, and I'll use them by name, Anthony Robbins. I would call him a false teacher. Did you just use someone's name? Oh, yeah, I'll use more names. I'll even use yours if you start being a false teacher. Well, Paul did it. Paul said, hey, watch out for Alexander, the metalworker. He's caused me much difficulty. His name is forever in Scripture. He used him by name. So yeah, you don't want to get hooked up with Anthony Robbins, and there's many others. Because any spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. So you'll see, oh, but I saw this lady, and she was in nylons. Now, do you know nylons? I thought, yeah. And they walked over these hot coals, and the nylons didn't burn. Okay. They overpower, you know, the elements of the world through their supernatural tapping into the fact that they really are God kind of thing, the human potential movement. It's dangerous and it's demonic. You say, well, how come man can do those things? Well, you're created in God's image. I mean, you can, born again or not born again, you can have a dream, you can make a plan, you can draw up schematics and create something. That is some, because you're made in God's image. Says in Proverbs verse 27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths of his heart. That scripture used to be taught on quite a bit in the 50s in different places in the healing movement. It's interpreted to mean that God uses your spirit as will flow through your spirit. He'll illuminate you and lead you and guide you. The supernatural in God, which we'll get to, has to do with you partnering with him. And there's certain things he'll just do, whether you showed up or not. But then there's this partnership that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. The human potential movement removes God from the equation, says I'm God, I can change my gender, I can do this, I can do that, and forces its way, and literally it is demonic. Certainly can become demonic. The second realm of power, so man, the second realm is demonic spirits. Demonic spirits. There is demon power. Demon power is paralytical. And there are such things as curses, hexes, voodoo. We've seen people delivered from it. We've had people set free from voodoo, hexes, curses, on and on and on. And you should not be enamored with those things. They are real. I've known pastors and leaders who've received gifts from people, and as a result, things happen. Now, I don't know 100%, but I sense in our family, my brother went to live in Nigeria when he was 10. When he came back, now I can only tell you my testimony of this. When he came back, he actually had this unusual sort of stick, this, and he brought that back, and these masks. And from the time he came back and we received these gifts, they were carved and different things that were very unusual. I had a recurring demonic dream that started from basically when he returned and gave me those gifts. It continued for years until God set me free from that bondage. It was a curse, I think, that came in through that somehow. We love the African people, but every nation, tribe, and tongue has paganism. And there's pagan aspects, and there is voodoo. There are curses, and there are witches, and there are people that are involved in that, and it is real. You say, you're freaking me out. No, I'm just trying to wake you up a little bit. It's real. It is real. And it has no power for those who are covered by the blood and remain under the mighty hand of God. So demonic power is real, and it is the second realm of the invisible. Demon power will try to seduce you. Demon power is parasitical power. What do you mean parasitical? Anybody know what lice are? I don't have much problem with that. A pilot fish for a shark. There's a fish called a pilot fish, and it swims with the shark. They have a symbiotic relationship, but the pilot fish feeds off of the shark and gets the scraps and I think takes things from its skin in the ocean. Parasitical power means this, that the enemy needs a host. He needs somebody to operate through. He looks for that. That's his preferred. I mean, he can do things. Animals, different things like that. That's true. Parasitical power. It's a parasite. The devil's a parasite. You have to yield to him. If you yield to him, then you become a host. Bump your neighbor and say, don't yield to him. Come on, somebody say, don't host Satan. Yes, don't. Some of you are marvelous hosts, but don't host him by believing his lie and empowering him. Turn your page over. Oh, I should definitely finish that. Satan is limited. Satan's power is limited. He's a created thing. God created Lucifer. Through his rebellion, he's thrown down to the earth. And one day, one angel with one chain is going to wrap it around his ugly and throw it in the lake of fire. His ugly, what were you going to say? I don't know. You can fill in the blank. He's going to be wrapped around as the ugly one, and he's going to go in the lake of fire. The third realm, the supernatural, three realms of power. The third one is the Holy Spirit. Going to look at some scripture here. I tried to move through those other two rather quickly, because that's not what I'm here to teach you about. I'm here to teach you about partnering with God and releasing your faith and seeing dreams and visions come to pass. Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Speaks about the empowerment of the third part of the Trinity, fully God, Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises that he's going to give us power. Why? To witness, to demonstrate his kingdom. Come on, somebody say, I've got power to demonstrate the kingdom. Yes, you do. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. I mean, that just destroys so many messages of the modern day church right now. TED Talks. Not with wise and persuasive words, but the demonstration of the Spirit's power. What power? The Spirit's power. Not your spirit, the Holy Spirit. Not the demonic, but the Holy Spirit's power. Emphasis on the effectiveness. How was Paul so effective? How was it Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament right there in the letters, the epistles? How was it that he did all that he did? He's saying it wasn't because I'm smart. It wasn't because I'm well-educated. He was smart. He was well-educated. They say that he was short and kind of homely. He didn't have like a bunch of charisma about him, but he had the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, and as a result was able to produce the effectiveness in the New Testament that we read about. Wow. Romans 8 and 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. Meditate on that. Think on that. The same Spirit, the very same Spirit, the exact Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. That means when you're facing death, when you're facing hard times, when you're facing something that's seemingly insurmountable, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can quicken you, can make you alive and give you a power to overcome. So many people live beneath their God-given, blood-bought right. Don't do it. There's a realm of power that you can tap into, not human potential. You are not God that forgot. I have a problem with a God that forgot. You are not him, but he does live on the inside of you if you're born again, and the Spirit will move through you to touch and change the world. Not your spirit, not a demonic spirit, the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. Well, what was he doing? Healing the sick, setting the captive free, raising the dead. All who came to Jesus, all who came to him, he healed. The very works I've been doing, they will do. And even greater than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus promises that those who believe in him will do the same works. And it says greater works. I heard a Baptist brother, well-meaning, tell me, well, that's salvation. All right. I'll agree with you. Salvation's the greatest work there could ever be. Clearly. But it's plural, my brother Baptist. It's plural, so it's not just that. It's all the works that Jesus did. Greater works will you do than these. Zechariah, and this is where we got the name of our building project. Project Zach comes from this, Zechariah 4:6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It emphasizes that true power and accomplishment are not by human effort. Oh, and we will work hard, but it's the power of the Spirit flowing through us that releases supernatural miracles, signs, and wonders. That which you cannot see by faith is released into the visible realm. Joel 2 and 28. And afterward, after what? After fasting and prayer, in the context of Joel 2, we are in a Joel 2 moment in our world. I could preach a whole message on it. Perhaps I will, up and coming. We have agricultural crisis. We have military crisis. We have governmental crisis. The very things that was facing God's people that Joel prophesied about are the very things that we are struggling with as well. And he gives a remedy for a nation that's in trouble with agriculture, military problems, and Babylon's going to come down from the north, political problems and corruption. He gives a recipe. If my people who are called by my name, says Solomon at the dedication of the temple, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. Joel 2, if they rend their garments, rend their heart and not their garments, pardon me. If they fast and they pray, then God will release answers. And that's what Joel 2 is. And it said, it'll come to pass, I'll pour out my spirit, or afterward, I'll pour out my spirit, Joel 2:28, on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I want to encourage you to believe God with your family, family night, Sunday night, tonight. Believe God that he will give you dreams, that he will give you vision. I was talking to this precious family about this man, Littoral, who had a dream of a large earth-moving device that had these tracks and a big blade. It's called the bulldozer. He's the inventor of the bulldozer. He had a dream. He was a believer. He ended up living on 90% living on 10% and giving 90%. He did the reverse. He lived on his tithe, if you could think of it that way, and gave 90%, and God blessed him. He had a dream. God can give dreams to your children. God can give dreams to you. God can give visions to your sons and your daughters. It is a biblical thing, and it's a good thing. Why? Because to the degree that you can have a dream or a vision, is the degree that faith will be released, is the degree that you can release the unseen into the seen realm. You're looking at a dream. This whole thing is a dream. I had somebody say, man, you guys are so lucky. We don't believe in luck. We believe in faith, though. Confident assurance of what you cannot see. Many of you have no idea the power that's available for you right now. Right now. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God. The Spirit created the whole universe. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. There's no limitation in the Spirit. The devil's limited, but the Holy Spirit is unlimited. And there's no toxic levels in him. You've been filled by the Spirit before. Good. There's more. There's more. There's another level that you've never been to, another level that I've not been to. We've been given privilege. We've been given access by the blood. He's paved a way. We have a passport to travel outside the nation and come back in, and you've got visas. You have something far greater than a passport. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin, and you can actually boldly come before the throne of God's grace and receive help in a time of need. There is power that so many of you don't tap into. And I hope that after this evening, that changes. The power of the Spirit. Come on, somebody say, whoa, the power of the Spirit. Power of the Spirit. You can be changed. Man unredeemed is under a curse and subject to demonic power. You've got to be redeemed. You've got to be changed. He puts his Spirit in you. We need God. All right, how to unlock the unseen realm of the kingdom of God. How to unlock the unseen realm. Now, before I get into this, I'm going to share the dream that I had. And if you heard it before, you get to hear it again. And if you never heard it, here you go. It's probably going on 2.5 weeks ago now. I go to sleep. And many times, especially at times when I need to be corrected, or I need an answer that I maybe haven't heard him. He just speaks to me very plainly in dreams. And I love what the one man of God said, if you have a dream that's so complex and you just can't understand it, just leave it. I know there's dream interpretation, and I'm not against that, and we have some people that interpret dreams. It's crazy. Got a prophetic gifting, but I can't interpret anybody's dreams for anything. I can't figure that out, but it's just, I don't know what that means. Well, the dreams that God gives me are mostly very simple and plain. This is the dream. I get picked up by two angels. I know they're angels. They know I know they're angels. I know they know everything. There's two of them. And I can't tell you, it's like a vehicle or something we get into, indescript. It's not important. And they say this to me, where do you stand with all this joy and radiance? Where do you stand concerning the things of the kingdom of God and divine healing, and divine provision? That was loud. And then what echoed right after that is divine healing, divine, and just all the different aspects of the kingdom of God. Where do you stand? I felt like I was in third grade or something, and I got picked on in front of the whole class, and I was just like nervous and kind of scared. And the wrong answer comes out of my mouth, which I knew was the wrong answer when I gave it. And I said, we built the church on the hill. You know, Kings. I was like, oh, that's not the answer. They beam at me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just joy, just this joy. Like, and I'm like, yeah, that's not it. And that's my dream. I wake up. I've been so lovingly rebuked by the Lord. I'm like, oh, I know what the answer is. I know the answer is the word. That's the answer. It's the word. Where do you stand? I stand on your word. And the Lord speaks to me as I stand up in my house with the power of God, same pattern as all these other dreams. And he speaks to me and says, son, you are not fully persuaded. And I thought, I'm not. How many, you know, you think you're fully persuaded, but if God tells you you're not, how many of you know you're wrong? So when he tells me you're not fully persuaded, I thought, okay. And as I'm walking around, I'm like, okay, I got to get fully persuaded. And I knew what I needed to do. I knew the next day I needed to, you know, go and sit down and just dive deep into some of the scriptures and promises. If you're going to see the miracle power of God put on display in your family, if you're going to see the vision that God's given you for your business, for your church, for your ministry, if you're going to see that which he's dropped in your heart in a vision, in a dream, the word, if the word says it, you can have it. If you're going to see that come to pass, you have got to change your thinking. Number one, change your thinking. How to unlock the unseen realm of the kingdom of God. Your thinking. Thinking is a tie into the invisible realm. It's a tie, and I said it that way. It's a tie into the visceral realm. In other words, you can tap into the demonic through your thinking too. You can tap into darkness through your thinking. You can begin to think on evil thoughts. You can begin to meditate on those things. And soon as coming out of your mouth, and soon you found yourself in a world of turmoil and hurt. The fact that we think in terms of behavioral response and right and wrong. The fact that we think in terms of beauty. I said it this morning. Nothing in all of creation thinks in terms of beauty. Only people. You looked at a sunset like, wow, isn't that beautiful? Yeah, dogs don't, cats definitely not. They don't look at sunsets and be like, wow. They don't do that. Justice. That's not fair. You know what? You know who else says that? Nothing. And all of creation thinks of fair justice. Nothing except humans. Why? Made in God's image. Thinking is a tie to the invisible realm. So you have to think the way that God wants you to think. Let me say what the Lord many years ago says, son, you cannot afford to have a thought inside your head about yourself that I don't have towards you. That's a base level. Base levels. Years ago, you cannot afford to have a thought inside your head that I don't have towards you. So that I'm thinking, well, what are your thoughts towards me? They're in the word. Learn who you are. Get your identity from scripture. But it's so much more than that. You cannot afford to live this supernatural life, and it's going to be supernatural either way. You cannot afford to live the supernatural life without declaring and thinking and speaking is one of the aspects. Your thinking needs to change. The enemy will attempt to cloud your thinking by hurtful experiences. Oh, gosh. So your thinking can be really affected because you've got a PTSD or the last time you got out of the boat and you drowned. Your thinking can be affected by things, and then you can have a list of experiences that line up with your thinking. There's so many people that are unbelieving believers because they've just gone through some difficulty, and they've set their heart on the fact that, well, they'll never be able to do that, or they're hurt, or they were told all their life, can't you be like your sister? Can't you be like your brother? They have word curses spoken over them by their parents. The enemy will attempt to cloud your thinking for hurtful experiences, and then soon your life will revolve around these strongholds is what they are. Everybody say a stronghold. Yeah, you have to tear down every stronghold, any thought in your heart, in your mind, in your emotions. If you have a place, a bastion that's a lie, you must remove it with the truth. How do I know it's true? It's the word. Everybody say the word. The word. Where do you start? Where do you stand regarding the things of the kingdom of God? It's your word, Lord. It's your word. I stand on your word. By your stripes, I am healed. Throw open windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, not have room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer. Favor, blessing, the word. So if you think things that are lined up with your experience is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality, listen, you can just shake this off and live beneath what God's purchased for you. You can learn to release your faith and change the world. And I truly believe that God's doing that with people here. You've got to tear down the lie. You've got to get healed of your clouded emotions from what happened when you were a child. Most men go through what's called a father wound. Father wound. Did you go through that, Pastor? Yes, of course, I did. Yeah, I did. I needed healing. Because as a man, you need to hear from your father, you're a man, you can do it, you can overcome. Or as for a daughter, you know, it'd be different. You're beautiful, you're cared for, you're wonderful, you're God's princess. Speak life over your kids. And so oftentimes we as parents, we fail. And then we create wounds inside our children. You say, you're a pastor, did you do that to your kids? Yes, sorry. We've already dealt with that, though. We've already talked about it. And I was grateful for my children trusting me enough as we sat around a table a number of years ago. We talked about the hurtful things in the Bracken family growing up, and it was all my fault. So, no, really, like every one of those things were like, yeah, it was you, Dad. You did it. It was so bad that Pastor Karen reaches across the table and takes me by the hand and says, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. Just eating dirt again. Anybody professional dirt eaters? It was too intense. It was way, way intense. I mean, I freaked my kids out so badly about the opposite sex that they were just like, they thought it was sin to actually like the opposite sex. It is, that's actually good. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say hallelujah. But I was so like, hey. They said, Dad, your eyes are like these blue lasers. It just peels our face off. And we all think we're going to go to hell because I thought some girl was cute. I'm like, oh, God. Come on, somebody say your thinking needs to change. And you need to get healed of those things. It's fascinating in Joshua 1:8. It's so true. Meditate on the word day and night. Meditate on the word day and night. Meditate on the word day. You have to say that again. Yes. Meditate on the word day and night. The Jewish scholars, rabbinic scholars or rabbis, they would do this thing called davening. And what davening is, it comes from David. They would take scripture and literally it would go over in their heart. They would memorize it and they would repeat it. They had to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had to memorize the Pentateuch. When you memorize scripture, there is no substitute for memorizing scripture. I would encourage every single family here, have your kids do far more than look at a screen. Have them memorize scripture and have them speak it out loud. Let scripture be the moral warehouse for why they do what is right and what they do what is wrong. Not that, I didn't want to get a spanking, or I just didn't want to get in trouble. No, they'll one day leave your house, and when they leave your house, they're going to do right, not because you're going to spank them. You're gone. You're out of the picture. By the way, when you send them off to university, that's pretty much it. If I have another child that was headed to university, I'm not sure I would do that. I think you have to, it used to be like, oh yeah, that would be the way to go. It is not 1950. And I've seen so many families lose their kids through the secular humanist at Christian schools, at Bible schools, where they get roped up into things. Oh, Jesus, help us redefine education. Going to be a move of God in our universities. Well, I lost my train of thought, so we'll just move on. Oh, it's back. Meditate. Davening. So they would get scripture, and they would just repeat it out loud, and they would say it over and over and over. Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word day and night, and you'll be prosperous. Teach your kids to do the same thing. Never mind your kids. How about you? Visions and dreams. Dreams and visions. Joel 2. God gives us goals. He speaks to us. He speaks to us and gives us dreams. He gives us visions. He drops desire. We have a little saying. It comes from Esther Morocco, who was Dr. Morocco's mother. Desire plus faith minus doubt equals a miracle. That is an equation, comes right from scripture. Desire plus faith minus doubt equals a miracle. Desire is the beginning of a miracle. When God shows you something and he gives you a desire, he gives you a dream, to the degree that you have that dream, you have that desire, it drops faith in. Now, it's got to line up with the word. It can't be contrary to the word. It's got to line up with God's word. And then when you're fully persuaded, when you're utterly convinced, there's not a shred of doubt that God's going to do it, it's God's will, and you begin to move forward in faith. Faith is what you do on the way to your hope, on the way to your dream. If my dream is to come over to Sister Sue's, it's my hope. I'm going to make it over there. Faith is what you do on the way. So the dream to build this building, well, we had a dream to grow. We were in the other building. There was no hope of this place. $4 million property. Dr. Morocco told me to call on it. I did. $4 million. That's not God. Amen. We need something far cheaper. My faith was at a lower level than it is now. God can't move beyond the faith that you have. No, I'm sorry. He can certainly do that. But he partners with you. Your faith will release God's power. If you don't have faith, you've got to grow in faith and pray for the gift of faith. So we were growing. We knew we were going to fit in the building we were in. We looked at old plans from there at 1701 Lucille Street. We looked at plans about redoing the parking lot, putting another level on the church, expanding the church. Is there a property we can buy? What can we do? How can we? We were just packed out. I mean, I saw pictures. I was just like, we look like sardines. It was exciting. They're like, no, we got to find a place. So we pray. Dr. Morocco calls me, says, I think you need to go back. I was praying. Go look at that old property we used to own. We used to own this. We sold it. It was out of our hands for 10 years. So as I was driving by, I saw the number for sale. I called it. Hey, $4 million. Oh, that's not God. That's just how that went. I didn't even drive up onto the place. 6 months later, my son, 9 years old, insisted. He was saying it actually weeks before that. Can we go to the old church property? I'm like, yeah, no. And this one day, in 2014, we rolled onto the property because he insisted. Whole family, we all went over there, drove onto the property, drove in this entrance right here. It was up to our waist in weeds. There was broken down vehicles. The place had been used as a dump site. The barn that used to be the old church was completely defiled. Homeless people living in it. It was tagged with curses and all kinds of stuff. I mean, just up to your calf with debris, mattresses. I mean, it was nasty. We drive up into that place, and when I got out of my truck and my feet hit the soil, I felt the power of God. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I felt like I grabbed two ends of a battery. I'm like, whoa, okay, Lord. Wow. And my next thought is, wow, there's like a resident anointing from when we used to have church here. I thought, wow, Lord. I had no idea what he was about to do. I took my two, when I said, you guys wait here. Let me look and make sure there's no trouble inside the barn. I went in and walked around the barn. There was nobody there. Brought my kids in. How many of you heard this story? Brought my children in and stood where the pulpit used to be. And as I'm standing there, I said to Daniel and to Hannah, I said, up there is where the sound booth was. It held about 100 people. And the chairs kind of went like this. And this is where the worship team was. And I said, and here's right about where the pulpit was. And then I was overwhelmed because of the challenges we had been through as a church. The words of Dr. Morocco came back to mind. We shouldn't even have a church. The enemy is sent to destroy the church, and we have survived. God has been so gracious to us. And I realized, saying, oh, God, thinking about all the people that are getting saved and healed. And I just lifted my hands. I said, oh, Lord, I started thanking him for the fact that we actually have a church. And when I lifted my hands and said, oh, God, that, I hear. Totally interrupted my prayer. And the Lord said, I'm giving you the property back. I thought, what? I'm giving you the property. I asked the kids on the spot, did you guys hear that? They said, I think Daniel kicked something. Nope. Bing. I left, went outside, called our real estate agent who's still a part of the church, called him. He called on the property. I'm sitting there waiting for the call back. I said, just call on it. Just call. Just call. I told him what happened. Just go ahead. I know it's $4 million. Just call anyway. He calls. He calls me back, and he's like, you can pick it up. We can get it for $1 million. I said, oh, God, I had faith for $1 million. I didn't have faith for $4 million. It had just been returned to the bank, and we're able to pick it up from the bank for $1 million. I said, oh God, I'll call you back. I hung up. I called Dr. Morocco. I tell him the whole story. I'm there. I'm with my kids. I lift my hands. The Lord spoke to me. I'm giving you the property back. So I called the real estate agent. We can buy it for $1 million. And he yells at me, hang up and put the offer in now. Pastor Daniel, hang up. Put the offer. I'm like, I've been yelled at 3 times, I think. That was one of them. The other two we're not going to talk about tonight. I called back and said, put an offer in. He says, how much? I go, I don't know. So I called Dr. Morocco, how much? How much should we put in? He says, why don't you put in what we bought it for originally? I said, okay. So we put in an offer for $750. We put the offer in. They said, no, counter offer, $1 million. And we said, yes. And the miracle was released. And ongoingly, the supernatural provision of God has been on display because there's a people who are fully persuaded that God wants to do something in this region and beyond. The same is true for you. It would be a great mistake, a great mistake. Everybody say a great mistake. Can I step up here? A great mistake. If you don't take what you see in this building and in this church and then what's this vision of what's taking place. Oh, I don't mean just here. I mean the 40 plus years, one church that then became three, and now there's over 600 extensions. It would be a great mistake for you to not internalize that and apply it to your own life to say what God did for them, God can do for me, God can do for my business, God can do for, you just need to dream, you need to believe God, release your faith, and it releases miracle power, healing, deliverance, provision. Nothing's impossible to them that, nothing's impossible to them that, nothing is impossible to them that believe. But if you can't believe it, you'll never see it. You have to get so excited. But yes! How to unlock the unseen realm of the kingdom of God. You're thinking. Dreams and visions are very, very important. Meditate on the word. Renew your mind by faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith. Noah built an ark by faith. Abraham walked by faith. Moses stretched out his rod by faith. There are things that don't exist because he's looking for somebody to believe it, to bring it to pass. By faith. Are you fully persuaded? You can live in a place of mediocre Christianity. I don't want to do anything mediocre. It's never been how I was designed. Ask my mother. She'll tell you. I'm not into mediocre. Winning's not everything. It's the only thing. I'm a part of the winning team along with you. And God has specifically called us and chosen us and appointed us to be at this time in history. Why? To release the power of his kingdom and healing signs, wonders, and miracles. Why doesn't he do it more? Because of you. Because of me. Because we oftentimes limit him by our unbelief, our hurt experiences, or justifying things instead of being fully persuaded. How do I be fully persuaded? You've got to find out where the chink in your armor is and you fix it. I'm fully persuaded that the Word of God is the Word of God. Some of you think that man wrote it and it really is just some book of fables. That's because you're uneducated and haven't spent time actually to figure out that it really is God's Word. Because once you do that, then you'll be accountable for what it says and then you'll be given power to speak his word and see it come to pass. And the enemy would love to give you and keep you in a place of unbelief. By faith. Everybody say, by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11. Another aspect of releasing and unlocking the spiritual realm is speaking. Okay, faith is the action you take on your way to your dream. Speaking. Speak. What is coming out of your mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what have you said? What are you saying? Just think about what you said. Sister Susie, the principal Susie up here, talked about, she caught herself. She said, oh, the opening we had, the meet and greet was awesome. Why does she do that? Because she heard the message about the only thing that's really, the only one that is awesome is God. And she quickly adjusted and said, no, shouldn't say that. Because if God's awesome, how many of you know our meeting was good, but it's not awesome? When you renew your mind and you meditate on the word, then you begin to line your mouth up with what God says. Some of you are you're your own worst enemy. You'll be like, man, the Lord's blessing me, but then you'll get in the car and your kids will have a fight. You're like, oh God, do you even love me for God's sake? Your double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You've got to line your mouth up. Come on, you've got to speak. Got to speak the word. Speak truth. You say, but you don't see what I'm going through. That's your problem. You're looking at what you're going through. Abraham, we had Pastor Kirsten read it. Abraham against all hope. His body was old. His wife is old. There ain't no kids. Against all hope. I'm looking at everything I got right now, and there ain't no way in God's green earth that anything could happen. You need to shut it and begin to align your heart with the reality that God's word is bigger than your old body, stronger than whatever the circumstances are. Are you following me? He could have easily said, the time for babies is long gone. Maybe he's talking spiritually and not actually. No, he was fully persuaded that God was able to do it. He's why he's called the father of faith. He believed God, and it was accredited unto him as righteousness. What you believe is very, very important. Line up with the word of God. Speak it. Speak. What is God going to do? I don't know what he's going to do. Well, welcome to the I don't know revelation. What are you believing God to do? What's in your heart? Desire plus faith minus doubt equals what are you believing God to do? What are you believing that he's going to do? What are you believing he's going to do in your family, in your marriage, in your business, in your church? What are you believing for? If it's a I don't know, you better wipe that away and get a hold of a dream and begin to speak it. He's going to give us 10% of the population. We're going to build another building and hold students, 500 of them, in fact. We're going to continue to grow and redefine education. We're going to have a revival, an outpouring. I think we're already having it, but it's going to increase. We're going to plant churches all over the world. We're going to touch the nations. The glory of God will be put on display. Oh, he's going to do amazing things. In the next 5 months, it's going to be the most glorious, faith-filled 5 months of provision, of healing and deliverance and salvation. We'll see over 5,000 people come to Jesus this year. Come on, somebody, if you can't declare it. I was in an automobile. The gasoline froze because I think some of the people in the church tried to kill me, so they didn't tell me about heat and driving at 50 below zero. And as I'm rehearsing in my mind, cotton will kill you, cotton will kill you, up between Delta and Glen Allen, cotton to kill you, cotton to kill you, cotton. It's like this much ice on the inside windows. I've been the only one there. I stayed with the church truck so it wouldn't get burned to the ground. Next time I should just let it burn and cash in on insurance. Sorry, Tim. The one person I could call that would come and rescue me, just man of God from the church, I call him, he just lets out a string of curses. What the dude? I got it, dude. And I watch my battery just go, that, gone. No battery at 50 below or 40 below or whatever it was. It didn't last long. So as I'm shivering, fear comes all over me. I'm going to die. And then I thought, hey, wait a minute. He called me from Kauai to have a revival. This ain't it. Half the church hates me. I think they're the ones who tried to kill me. And there's only a few hundred people. There's a few hundred people or something. This ain't it. Come on, the Apostle Paul, why did he have such courage when he shook off the serpent? Because it wasn't Rome. And he had a promise from God that he was going to Rome. The promise of God, the dream from God will release the power of God. So I began to speak, oh, just like you showed me, God. In the same way that there's a pipeline from the North Slope to Valdez that puts oil into ships and goes all over the world. I'm sending you, he told me this, I'm sending you to Alaska where the golden oil of Zechariah will flow. If you've been here for any length of time, you've heard that. The golden oil is flowing. But back then, there wasn't even a pipeline in the spirit, I don't think. Well, theologically, there was, but maybe no oil. And as I prophesied that in this freezing truck, I was hot all over. Everything changed. We took an offering. And the state trooper came. Pulled up. I got out to talk to the state trooper who cracked his window about this much. Slides a granola bar through the window. And says, your mommy sent this to you. Because my mom had gone ahead in a car that was traveling with us. And my mom sent me, thanks for the granola bar, Mom. I took their granola bar. I said, great. Can I get in? Can I get in your car? So I sat in the back. Some of you know what that's like, hard plastic seats. And some of you don't know, in the back, usually like these hard plastic seats. And so this little square, I was able to dislocate both shoulders and actually push myself through the square into the heat in the front of the cab of the cop car. And I said, do you mind? Can you turn up the heat? Come on, God will release miracles through you if you can believe, and it helps you in hard times, in difficult times. You've got to speak it. That's what I did. I spoke it, and that's not only that. You need to pray. Everybody say pray. Pray. Are you fully persuaded? The only one that can limit you really is God. The devil will try. He tries to hinder the church. He tried to hinder the Apostle Paul. It's fair to say he tried to hinder the church, but God said, music. No, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. Musicians, please. God said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. I believe the Lord's going to release a gift of faith upon us tonight. Because there's so much to be done. And if we could just believe it, if we could believe for it, I prophesy again corporately in front of the congregation tonight that the school, you and the school, are going to receive awards that will come. And the influence of the school will be far-reaching, not only in Alaska, but throughout Kings. And not only throughout Kings, in other places. And the Lord is going to give you dreams, and he's going to show you things. And you are going to raise an army of spirit-filled teachers. Ooh, an army of spirit-filled teachers. That'll be full of the Spirit, full of the Word, teaching supernaturally. Even as Bezalel was chosen to put together the tabernacle, Aholiab and others were chosen to teach. There was an unction, there was an anointing to teach. And I wonder often about how they learned those gold working skills and metal skills and fabric skills. And I have a sense that perhaps the Lord visited them in the night and taught them. And the Lord is going to give you visions in the night of how to raise up an army. Indeed, you will raise up an army of teachers. And your team will raise up an army of teachers, and so on and so forth. And I'm reminded again that the starting of this school and the development of this school is one of the most important things we will do for our entire lifetime. Should the Lord tarry, it'll have far-reaching consequences. Even from the school, I prophesy to you, even from the school will come senators and congressmen. Even from the school will come business leaders. Even from our school will come those who can rightly divide the word, pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists and those with apostolic anointing. God is going to do amazing things among us. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. If you can believe. That's where my faith's at. That's what I believe God spoke to me. What is God speaking to you? What are you going to do with your life? Listen, I heard messages like this. Can I have keys, please? Thank you, brother. I heard messages like this when I was, younger. And I remember sitting there hearing these powerful messages and be stirred. But then having all these arguments. Having all this, yeah, but you're too old now. You got started late. Keys, anytime. Maybe you could just solo. Would you solo? Would you just sing? I'm teasing. Thanks. Perfect. And I remember having all these arguments about, oh yeah, God is going to use you. No, he's not. God, it's too late. You did things. You're disqualified. And I'd be like, yeah. And then the Lord would be like, no. I'd be like, yeah, but my blood's enough, son. You didn't handle that right, so, And I have this argument back and forth. I did not know it was spiritual warfare. I didn't know. And many times in those early years, I just agreed with the argument of the pain in my soul. I just agreed with the challenge that I struggled in school. Some of you don't know, but I just feel to tell you. When I came up in school, I was high-level dyslexic. I remember writing with both hands. And I said, Mom, I could show you the place if it still existed. The house is still there, 17 Highwood Road. My mother behind me, I said, hey, Mom, do I write with my left hand or my right? She said, whatever one you want. Hold on. I started watching other people and noticed that most people used right, but my mom used left. And I just thought, I'll go with the right. Reverse letters. Got left back in the second grade. I had many people basically consider that I was dumb. That's the other miracle, the fact that this person along with this great team starting a school, that's a miracle. The fact that I can read to you is a miracle. Left back in the second grade, which is great because I was like bigger and stronger than everybody else, which I really liked. Thought that was awesome. Like shaving in second grade. But the enemy had a hold on me. He had a hold. Well, you can't do that because you can't spell. You can't read. You don't talk so good. All these things, all this evidence, all this against all hope stuff And it took me a little while to figure out, you know what my hope is now? Is that somehow through this message and those who would listen, that the lie of the enemy would be broken off of you. And you'll realize that God can use you just like he used Moses, just like he used Joshua, just like he used Noah. He can use you. Shake free of the lie. Cast down every lofty thought that's raised up against the knowledge of God. Take captive every thought and be fully persuaded.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.